Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalline.
All right. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, December 13th, 2024. Time for some Coastal Windage. Good morning, Crystalline.
Good morning!
And what was that sound we just heard?
That is my very, not so, but very ugly sweater.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're wearing your... I mean, this actually doesn't look very different from normal, but you've got a pink tutu on, your hair is nice and pink, and you've got a actually pretty cool sweater with jingle bells and...
Yes, a black cardigan with very pink tinsel all wrapped around. There's some quote-unquote ornaments, but they're little disco balls, and when it gets dark, it'll light up.
I mean, it. Like I said, this looks like your usual, that you haven't dressed up. And as I was just saying before we came on the air, even though this is a tough time in the morning, or the day for me, that being morning, your outfit and you just make me smile. So good to see you this morning. Yeah. All right, this is Coastal Windage. I think everybody knows that by now. We're here every Friday morning. I mean, every Friday morning, live. We're live. We're here right now. There's three people sitting at the mics right now, and then 14 or 15 other people in the room milling about. We're all here right now, live on Main Street. That's what makes this show fun, because it's happening right now in real time. Could you mute that person, please?
Gosh.
I know.
The audacity.
Totally. Okay. That's KHMB 100.9 FM, rockin' 1710 AM, and streaming live on khmbradio.com. Coastside Issues, Hot Topics, and me, and Crystalline, and Frank the Engineer, and all those people over there, and all of our listeners. When I say Hot Topics, we got a new segment that we're trying out today. And Hot Takes, which, you know, if you've listened to any radio, it's just like, it's basically take a thesis statement and throw it out there and see what people have to say about it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you believe that. It's just like, this is a statement. Go. Your thoughts on X statement. So the problem is, as I was discussing with Frank, is that these are usually on shows that are like 4 hours, and you throw out the statement over the course of 4 hours, people have a chance to comment on it. This is an hour show, of which seems to go by in like 20 minutes. So right now I'm just going to throw out these two hot take thesis statements. People can mold them and call in the back half of the hour. Because the front half of the hour, we're going to banter and other topics and holiday stuff. The back half of the hour, after our commercial break, call in with your thought on these hot takes. Write this down right now so that you're ready to call. 650-560-9851. Write it down. There you go. Put it in your PDA. That's, get your stylus out. Tap it into your PDA. Okay, there you go. Okay, here's the hot takes. Ecotourism, : easy money or fool's gold. Okay, that's weigh it, or if you have another angle on that. But ecotourism, easy money or fool's gold, that's one hot take topic for you to think about and comment on. Here's another one. Turnover and turmoil. Not calling out anybody in particular, but is there a leadership vacuum on the Coastside? And we can get into why that statement is there. But in general, people, what are your thoughts on that hot take? Okay. Our other topics until then. Busy holiday calendar. There's a lot going on. You would know that very well. We want to kind of hear how Night of Lights went last week. Holiday shopping. Have you already done all your holiday shopping? Are you a big holiday shopper, Crystalline?
I do not love shopping, so I have to mentally prepare for it. But I also like to make gifts. So I'm in the process of planning out the things that I'm going to make over the next week, and then best boyfriend Jesse and I have planned that on Sunday is going to be the day that we hit Main Street and buy all of our gifts.
When you say you make things for people, like, what are we talking about?
This year, I'm very into coffee mugs, and I got, the chamber got a coffee mug maker.
What is this, like a 3D printer that makes coffee mugs, or what do you mean a coffee mug maker?
Well, so you buy these, you buy the coffee mug, and it's a blank,
okay.
And it's got a special coating on the outside of it, and then there's a, like, heat press. And then you have a special machine that makes your designs, or, you know, so I make the design and then...
Like a computer, or...?
You make the design on the computer, and then you cut it out on the die-cut cutter, and then put them all together, put them in the mug press, and it makes it all... It infuses the design into the mug.
Okay.
It's very cool. So, we got this set for the chamber because... We're trying to evolve our visitor center, and we have a program called Keep the Coastside Clean. And as a part of that, how we raise funds for cleanups is we want to sell Keep Half Moon Bay Beautiful, Keep Princeton Pristine, Keep Monterra Majestic. But we don't have...
Okay, hold on. What have we got for Moss Beach and El Granada?
Keep El Granada
Elegant?
Glorious. And Keep Moss Beach, that one also might be beautiful. I have them online, but I have one for each area of our coastside.
Nice.
But the chamber, we don't have the funds nor the storage to buy things in mass and hold on to them until they sell and all of that. So the mug maker and all the accoutrements were on really big Black Friday sales, so I was able to get those for good money. And so then now I can just make one each per mug, and then when they sell, I can make the next. And I can make, water bottles, the mugs, and, you know, a couple of different things. And so I'm really excited because this has been something we've been working on for about 2.5 years, but it's been really difficult to get off the ground because, again, we just don't have thousands of dollars to put into the merch. And I also, it's important to me that our visitor center doesn't compete with the other shops on Main Street. So I try to, so what we have in the visitor center now and what we will continue to do is we buy wholesale little things from different shops.
Yes.
And sell them for the same price that they sell them, so we're not undercutting them.
Yep.
But this allows me to do at least one or two unique things that kind of, you know, help us with our mission and isn't competing with somebody else. But in the meantime, I've got to practice, making the mugs and getting my situation straight. So I'm going to practice by making mugs for my couple of gifts.
So this year's gift recipients are going to get some...
slightly wonky mugs.
Okay, but
yep.
those actually are kind of the most favorite things, you know.
Wonky, like, mugs from the heart.
There you go. Wonky... There's your branding right there. There's your product name. Love it. Okay. Yeah, we'll get into holiday shopping a little bit more. I asked the interns to... I mean, I don't even know if we've read a single email this season, because there's just so much to talk about, and we've had great guests, and with you on full time now, like, you know, there's less air time to go around. But
are you saying I'm sucking the air out
of
the show?
No, I'm saying you're literally breathing life into this show. It's CPR is happening right now. But so we haven't gotten the email, but people continue to send us email, which I appreciate. And I feel like we need to honor that a little bit. But there's just, it's, now there's so many. So I said to the interns, just go through and, like, just pick a representative one from, try to pick one from each show. And so I've got a stack of email here. I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. There's so many, I don't know where to start. So we may have some random emails that I take no accountability for. Okay.
And we should remind people, if your email is not answered,
yeah,
you can always call in 650-560-9851.
Yeah. This is a college
that
show.
That is instant gratification to whatever question you are asking. You can put us on the spot.
Well said. I mean, exactly. If you are sitting at home, which I know thousands of people are sitting at home and grumbling, I sent in the most brilliantly composed email ever written, and they're not reading it.
It just sat there.
Guess what? Pick up the phone, 650-560-9851, and just read it into your phone, and then instantly people hear it, and they'll go, wow, that person is a genius. And there you go.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. All right. Air quality report, exclusively here on Coastal Windage. In the entire history of broadcast radio, anywhere in the universe, this is the only show that does a live air quality report. Okay. 0 to 50. Incredible. 51 to 100. Pretty good. Excuse me. I need a drink of coffee right now.
100 to 1,000. Maybe go inside.
yeah. I mean, if we're up at 1,000.
Mars. We're on Mars.
All right. Just need a slurp there. Okay. Did everybody catch that slurp? Was that caught on audio, Frank? No? Okay. Then we need a slurp in your Foley box there. All right. Anyways, we know the scale now. So today we're at our usual numbers. 8 in El Granada. Yes. 10 in Half Moon Bay. 7 in Redwood City. 19 in Santa Cruz. And today in Atherton, California, which is right over the hill, 4.
The Curry area?
Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed because we have a little piece on Atherton later, but they get the best air quality. They just get the best of everything, and it's just not fair. 4 in Atherton? Why not 4 in El Granada and 8 in Atherton? Nope, it's got to be 4 in Atherton. All right, I'm letting my inner self show there. Okay, let's get to the busy holiday calendar, because tonight we have ugly sweater night.
Yeah.
How's that going to work, though, if it's raining or, you know, what's your contingency on that?
Well, we're doing it at the cantina, so they have that beautiful back area, but they also have the inside. And I'm not sure if it's still up, but last weekend they had an event tent up. So if that's still up, then that might be an option. But at a minimum, the cantina is indoor-outdoor, so.
And is this a contest or just like where you're... So what are the judging criteria? Who's judging?
The audience judges.
So clapping and...
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. And then, so we've got, you know, quote-unquote, ugliest family of sweaters.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a family of people. It's just a grouping of sweaters together?
Yes.
That might have a, you know, like...
Well, or if it's a group of friends or family or whatnot. Okay. Their sweaters don't have to match, but just that they are a group in
that
themselves.
Group, yep.
And then Hometown Mercantile... which is a wonderful shop here on Main Street. They are sponsoring the ugliest dog sweater. So the winners of that will get gift certificates to Hometown Mercantile, which is really great.
These are literally sweaters on dogs or sweaters with dogs on them?
Sweaters on dogs.
Sweaters on dogs, okay.
And then we have, air quotes, ugliest but really the cutest, sweaters on for kids. And each child will win... and get a $10 gift certificate to Inkspell.
So I love the idea of the the ugly sweater thing, but I guess if I was to find something to
gripe about,
yeah, I mean, complain was the gentler word I was going to use, but back in the day. Older folks, especially it seemed like, would wear these sweaters that we would now call ugly sweaters, and unironically as their Christmas garb. And now it's become this thing where, like, people are, you know, they've got these sweaters that have got things hanging off of it. Like, it has become the, like, that's the end goal, is to see how gaudy or ridiculous or outlandish your sweater could be, as opposed to organically, it used to be, oh my gosh, here comes Gramps, and like, oh, what is he wearing? And he would just be like, this is my holiday sweater. What's wrong with it? And you're just over in the corner going, oh, look at that.
But now we've made those sweaters cute. Because now ugly sweater means something that's so crazy and awful that if you wear a knitted sweater that's got reindeer and trees on it, people just now think that's cute.
But it becomes an arms race of, like, that was the original quote-unquote ugly sweater, but now the ugly sweater is the objective as opposed to just having, you know, this is my holiday sweater. Now it's got to be, like, it's got to be the most outlandish, the most ridiculous, and that has become the goal as opposed to just having, like, a quirky holiday sweater. And that's where I guess I'm not explaining myself why I don't like that part of it, because it becomes the dog wagging the tail, or the tail wagging the dog type of thing, of like, instead of just like people like holiday sweaters and some of them are gaudy and some of them are not, now it's like it's become a thing of just like the most outlandish.
But we're also trying not to hurt people's feelings
by saying ugly.
Well, so if you had an ugly sweater party and people are showing up in their Nana sweater,
mm-hmm.
and then Nana shows up because it's a family-friendly event, and she's like, why are you wearing this lovely sweater that I got you to this ugly sweater party and winning a prize? We are now hurting Nana's feelings. If we are wearing sweaters that were clearly made to be ugly sweaters, and the person who made the ugly sweater is able to take pride in its ugliest, then we are not hurting anybody's feelings.
I feel like a Nana, if you're wearing the sweater, there's no hurt feelings there. She'd be like, look at all these amazing sweaters here in this room.
And then they win a prize for ugliest one, and then she's not going to be offended.
See, this is where, like, it used to just be holiday sweater. This is the irony of it. In order to not hurt people's feelings, the word ugly has been added to the holiday sweater thing. Like, can you see the irony in that? Instead of just being it's a holiday sweater.
Can't we just dress up as gaudy and awful as we can one day a year?
Yes. Except I would not call that gaudy and awful. It looks so perfect on you.
Well, just because I can pull it off,
I know,
doesn't
you
mean
can
that
pull
it's
it
awful.
Off. I know. Well, I think that's what's annoying me is, like, I could have the most, I'm dating myself, the most killer Benetton sweater from, you know, Benetton or Banana Republic, and it would look terrible on me. And you're wearing a quote-unquote ugly sweater, and you're rocking it. So that's annoying to me.
That's attitude.
Hey, that's true. That's true.
If I was walking around in this sweater with a big mopey face and telling everybody that I feel like Junkola wearing this sweater, then I would look a lot uglier, but because I wear it with a smile and I put on silver little tiara and the tutu and I just lean into it, then it makes it fun.
You do lean into it, and that is what makes you fun. And I think everybody that knows you fully appreciates that you lean into life, and that's what makes you an incredible person. As opposed to myself, I slouch into life. I slouch in. Okay, Cunha Holiday Dance is tonight at Cunha Intermediate School. I'm supposed to have basketball practice, but my team wants to go to the dance, so, I mean, come on. You got it. All right, flashback to the 70s, and my little hometown, about the same size here as Half Moon Bay, and we had one middle school. Middle school dances were traumatizing to me, for one, because my dad forced me to go. Forced. Literally, like, remember the scene in 16 Candles where they're at the dance, and, like, there's a scene of, like, a mom and dad literally dragging their, like, kid, and he's like, no, I don't want to go, and they, like, push him in the door and close the door to the auditorium and then go? That was me. And my dad was literally like, you have to go to at least one dance a year. I'm not a dancer. I remember the first dance was on like a Monday night football game or something that my San Diego Chargers were in for like the first time in years, and I had to go to the stupid dance instead of being able to watch the football game. So I have middle school dance trauma, but The kids seem to like it, and so that's going on tonight, the Cunha Holiday Dance. Tomorrow, we have the Pillar Point Harbor Lighted Boat Festival starting at noon. It's hosted by the Harbor District. Delicious food and drinks from local vendors, live music featuring the Fishwives. That's the band. Kids, crafts, and activities for all ages, non-specified. And a breathtaking, I'm not a fan of this part, a breathtaking lighted drone show finale. And then the show-stopping lighted boats parade. Why do we need the lighted drone? Why do we need that?
So we can have the fun that used to be fireworks, but we all acknowledge that fireworks are not environmentally friendly and the sounds are terrible for our animals.
Hold on. We all acknowledge this, including the Pacifica Police Department and Fire Department that use it as a fundraiser and sell it at the Moose Lodge in Pacifica every summer. Those are all the people that acknowledge that the fireworks are...
Me no talking about Pacifica. I'm talking about Half Moon Bay Coastline. The Half Moon Bay Coastline is very, you know, not wanting to have fireworks for all the reasons. And so I think the drone show is a great alternative, and I am excited to go and see how it works, because I've never seen one in real life. I've seen them on TV. But
a drone show?
Yeah, but I want to see it in real life. I think that's a great alternative.
Drones are part of the problem.
Why? Because they're run by computers.
They're run by computers, and it's just
What if I told you that drones were not run by computers, but they were instead run by the little guy, the little alien guy from the Men in Black movies? Do you remember the first movie where there was a little guy in the little head? What if they were just like little aliens and they were flying them all around and they were personally driven and not run by a computer? Does that make it better?
Maybe. Possibly. Because I was going to say, the thing I have against drones is we're just one step away from them being weaponized and also...
Already weaponized.
Well, okay, so everybody's fine with that, and then surveillance, used for surveillance.
I'm pretty sure that the drones at the harbor are not going to be carrying little bombs and machine guns. They're just light.
Not yet. Okay, I'm looking forward to the show-stopping lighted boats parade. I love the... I do like me some Christmas or some holiday lights. I love the twinkly lights and the different colors. I can see the harbor from my house, so I love the boats are already decorated, and so it's wonderful at night. It's pretty cool to walk down to the docks on the on this night every year. There's usually, like, I guess the Fishwives are playing. The couple years that we have gone in the past, like the Redwood City Elks band was playing, and I mean, it's a full band, so that's, you know, doing holiday songs, which, okay, so now flipping over to the other side, not a fan of the holiday songs. Just, like, they're so forced. You know, it's just like, especially when you've got, like, a rock band trying to do a holiday song, it's just like, it's just so forced.
Frank sees your curmudgeon-y and he is taking
it
down.
He's raised it. No, he's raising me. Okay. Let's just keep moving. So that's going to be fun. I mean, that sounds like, I hope the weather holds up.
And I think at 1 o'clock, which is something I'm excited to go see, because the harbor is trying to figure out how to bring a kind of marine educational center to the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's the Marine Institute is going to be bringing a mobile aquarium around 1 o'clock, so I'm excited to see that.
Okay. Mobile aquarium. We'll see what's going on with that. Next Friday, we've got Elf and the Spaghetti Feed at Jupiter in Maine.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so that sounds good. Elf, my wife loves that movie. Beach Break Film Festival is December 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's the third annual. Julie Mell will be on next week to talk about that. I personally love the film festival. I think it's a great thing for the coastside.
And shout out to Julie. She's the one that helps us do the Elf movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that. Of course, if it's a movie on the coastside, it's probably thanks to Julie Mell.
Yeah.
The Harlem Wizards are coming back to the coastside. They'll be here on Sunday, January 12th at 4 p.m. in the Event Center. So this... They're similar to the Globetrotters, right? Their marketing slogan is Tricks, Hoops, and Alley-Oops. And if you've been, I think they've been here two times before. They come every other year, I believe. It's really, really fun. Like, it's like the Globetrotters. So they have fun uniforms. They do all these fancy tricks. They're really good basketball players. They really engage with the crowd. The kids love, little kids are loving them. It really, even if you don't like basketball or you don't care, just go there to see your community having a good time. The Wizards play, the thing about the Wizards, the Globetrotters travel with their own team called the Washington Generals, and so everything's choreographed with this other team, right? The Wizards play, they go from to the smaller communities. You know, the Globetrotters are playing like the capitals of the world and stuff. The Wizards go to like smaller communities like this, and they play, they don't travel with their own team of opponents. They play teams from the local communities that they visit, which I think is super fun and a great idea. And so the Wizards, when they come here, they play a team made up of teachers, staff from the Boys and Girls Club, people from local government, nonprofit officials, radio personalities, coaches of local teams and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun to see that. This is organized by the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. It's a fundraiser for them, but it's also something that totally meshes with their mission, because when you, again, just go. Just get a ticket and go. For the entertainment value of not only the basketball, right? I'm stealing your air quotes, the basketball, but just the joy that these kids have. I'm talking kids like up to, you know, into their teens. So it's just really fun to see that. You can get tickets at the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside website. Look that up. Okay, holiday shopping.
Yeah.
Here's a great gift. I hope I haven't already mentioned this before, because we discovered this a couple months ago when we were having a family get-together, and one of the family members brought this. It's a trivia board game, kind of like Trivial Pursuit, but it's called Mind the Gap, which I guess if you've been to New York City or ridden the tube in London, that Mind in the Gap means watch the gap between the platform and stepping onto the train. Wow, we're already at the break. Okay. So, Mind the Gap is this great new trivia game, but it's for all ages. It's broken down into by generation. Boomers, X, millennials, post-millennials. And so, the questions are in these categories. And so, what makes it really fun is that, you know, usually you play Trivia Pursuit and you're like, you know, your dad or somebody, like, just know-it-all. Like, they're the only one that can answer these questions about obscure, you know, literary references from the 1500s or whatever. But this Mind the Gap game is super fun because it's got stuff right up to the current time. Like, I you know, I like, oh, Cold War question, yes, I'm there. And then there's some, what's the, like, dance that Cardi B was doing in this video? And I'm just like, who, what? You know, but our teenage, you know, niece and nephew, they're like, oh, that's the Nene or whatever. I'm like, okay. You're laughing. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
No, okay, good. Good. Okay. Anyways, that's a super fun game. If you're listening out there, find that game, Mind the Gap, because the whole family can play. Literally, like, everybody in your family, from Nana down to like your 10-year-old whatever niece or nephew, can play this game. And so we had a great time with the whole family playing. We split into two teams, and it was really fun. So that's a great game for the holidays. Better than talking politics around the table this year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready for our commercial break? All right, Frank's giving me the commercial break, whirly bird, so let's do it. And now, a word from our sponsor.
This is Community Radio for the Coastside.
100.9 KHMP.
Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the Coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday, open mic night on Thursday, and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Join me this morning at 10 o'clock, right after Coastal Windage. I'll be along with Stan Warren Luttrell getting a check of your weather. Also, we'll take a look at today in history. And don't forget our forgotten find. All comes your way right after Coastal Windage on your Friday morning from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, there we go. There's the jingle sweater. All right, we're back. Chris Lynn and Ruben Truthmaker here. We're trying something new, but obviously we're not getting there yet. But just in case you had thoughts, hot takes for today, should you care to weigh in? Ecotourism, easy money, or fool's gold? Weigh in on that thesis statement. Turnover and turmoil, whether it's the superintendent. Let me just give some context to that hot take, because people are like, is there a leadership vacuum on the coast side? That's the question. Well, what do you mean, is there a leadership vacuum on the coast side? Well, let me just. So we have a new.
I'm a leader who vacuums. Does that count?
Leadership vacuuming on the coast side, maybe. So we have a new U.S. representative, Sam Liccardo, replacing Anna Eshoo, who was there for decades. So again, like, it's nothing against Sam, but he's new.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to find his sea legs a little bit, as opposed to someone who's been there for decades and knows, you know, everything there is to know about this district. So, okay. Supervisor Mueller, friend of the show, who we love, but he's got a lot on his plate right now, and like these people freaking out about the tsunami, I'm just going to leave that. We'll leave that as a hot take for later, but people are still clutching their pearls on Nextdoor about the tsunami and we didn't get the warning and people. Okay, so I'm just going to let that one go. But he's got a lot on his plate with people freaking out about that for some reason. The MCC has three open positions. Two incumbents are out at Half Moon Bay, including the mayor. The new superintendent at the school district is already on medical leave for who knows how long. And the sheriff of the county is in legal trouble or turmoil. Who's running the show? I mean, that's my question is, is there a leadership vacuum right now on the coast side when you think of, who is leading, who's in charge, who's leading the coast side, who's carrying the banner for the coast side or even the county, what name pops up?
Staff.
Okay. I mean, staff is... that doesn't have a lot of cachet in terms of, a name brand. I agree. Staff always does all of the work. But at some point, you got to have some leadership charisma out there in times of stress or turmoil or uncertainty or just the everyday life of, I just listed that there's a lot of... I'm not calling anybody out of, doing a bad job. I'm saying there's turmoil, whether it's Christina Corpus or Amber Lee Alva, or turnover, again, two pretty popular incumbents in the city council out, three openings at the MCC, a new U.S. representative. I mean, I can't even name the five county supervisors anymore because they've kind of swapped out over the last couple of years. So who's carrying the banner?
Staff. This is our system. Every other November, we have elections, and when things are going as they've been going the last couple of years, you tend to lose some more incumbents than normal, and there's turnover, but staff is tried and true, and they do a lot of the heavy lifting, and in most of those offices that you mentioned, I can think of at least one, if not two, staff members that have been there for going on 10, 15 years, have continued in the office under the different leaderships, and they're the ones that provide the new leadership, the continuity, and the history, and making sure that, as minimal balls get dropped as possible, and it's really important. In my opinion, the mark of a good leader is that the staff below them is stellar. So as as long as they're, you know, number two person, number three person, you know, and on down the org chart, are all really excellent at the thing that they need to be excellent at, then we don't lose as many steps as it feels like we might in this, you know, churn of changing of the guard.
I don't disagree, but I guess staff is almost by definition unseen and unheralded. They do the nuts and bolt work. They keep the lights on and the trains running on time. But at some point, you need a face person, a representative leader that's out there doing leadership in the public, so that, and then working with the staff to tighten down the nuts and bolts. But That's what I'm saying. Like, who is the face of leadership on the coast side right now, or even in the county? I feel it's a bit of a rhetorical question, but it's a question for Hot Takes, 650-560-9851. Who is that person or persons right now in a time when I feel like there's a lack of a person that you would go like, oh,
but the outgoing, with the exception of Eshoo's office, right, where that is one person being swapped out for one person, the councils are multiple people. There's still four people on MCC, and at their meeting this week, they went through and are putting up their three other candidates. MCC might be the fullest it's been in a very long time when this process is done. You know, even with Pescadero Council, of the ones that were elected, multiple of them have been on the council for a long time. We've still got three council members for Half Moon Bay that have been on there for a long time. So even though there is a lot of shifting and there are new people, on almost all of them, there are still a majority of people that have been doing it for a long time, and they're going to help the new people catch up. And in a lot of cases, the new people have been, you know, going to meetings pre-election and have been getting themselves caught up. And so it's not necessarily like they are starting from zero. They have an awareness of what they're going to be needing to do, and they have been participating in the process for a while now, and the only kind of difference for some of them is that they're sitting on the dais versus in the gallery.
All right, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate your calming statements and making it feel like, yes, everything's still in place. And
the dumpster is not totally on fire.
Okay. It's being pushed out into the middle of the street right now, though. Because I would like to do a survey. Could anybody on the Mid-Coast name more than two MCC members? Let alone the chair. Okay, same with people in Half Moon Bay City Council right now. They should be able to name all five. Could people name all five county supervisors?
But that's a community problem, not a leadership problem. All of our councils have a real issue with community members not taking enough of an interest in what is happening. So they hear these decisions come down, and then after the fact, if it affects them negatively, they want to cry and whinge about it and hit next door and Facebook and all of the things. But unfortunately, when you are only paying attention to when something negatively affects you, then you have completely missed the multiple opportunities that led up to that decision where you could have weighed in and stopped it from happening or helped come to some kind of compromise that would have made it less negative or let a council know how, you know, you might have a take on something that the council hasn't considered because those five people don't have all the experiences of all the people of all the coastside. So they need that. But when you have council meetings and by the end of the meeting there's one person plus the staff and the council, unfortunately decisions get made that are not necessarily always the best or you know, fully rounded because the community didn't participate. So community members not being able to name the council, that's a shame on you, community. You have, there's websites that tell you all of that. You can go to the meetings. All the meetings are on Zoom. You can go to Coastside Buzz and read about these things at your own leisure. There's plenty of places where you can find this information out. So if you don't know it, that's your fault.
Oh, I totally
agree. Hot take.
Yeah, right. Okay. You heard it here. I totally agree with that. I mean, that absolutely. There's been an abdication of all responsibility for people. The amount of meetings I go to where people, this is the first I've heard about. Really? Because this plan's been, we've been having public meetings on this for 4 years. This is the first. Well, I didn't get an email. I don't, really?
Oh, we joke that when we have to, and I say we, I mean myself and like the collective councils or communication people who work for the different agencies. And it's like, at this point, people just want a notice stamped on their forehead before they will admit that it's been out there in the world. There's 1,000 different ways that people can get information. Instagram, Facebook, Nextdoor, getting the different email newsletters. If we really wanted to, we, for almost any given thing, we can give at least 7 different ways that the information was sent out to the community. It's not our fault that you're not on any one of the major platforms.
Well, thank you for introducing my daily rant against technology. But I would say, like, yeah, and this is where technology is part of the problem instead of the solution. A classic history lesson that every student of U.S. history should have included in what's taught to them in 20th century U.S. history is this idea in the 1920s, the rise of advertising in the 1920s. And the classic example is all of these kitchen appliances and tools that were going to make life so much easier and so much, you know, less work for the easy people. And just quote, you know, it was a different time, so we're going back in time, make it easy for the housewife to like get the food ready quicker or whatever, like, okay. And all of that was a myth. Like, it's only that none of that made life easier and made it more complicated. You've got more devices now, and you've got to keep track of these things. And I would say that is exactly what is happening with technology now. Like, there are so many platforms. It used to be, we go back 20 years ago, you want to find out what's going on, you go to the Half Moon Bay Review, and that's where you get your information. And it would have all the information.
Or the posters at the post office.
Exactly. Now, with so many different platforms and places to go, yeah, it's no wonder people can't, you know, if they're not on the right platform or they don't, like me, they're not on all of the platforms or whatever, the platforms might have different information, might be slightly different. The people posting for the different platforms might have different responsibilities.
And try being the person who's trying to get the information out on the different platforms.
That's so...
It's really, really awful to have to deal with. It would be awesome and excellent if the Coastside just collectively decided, or and anywhere else, just collectively decided that when we want news and information, we're gonna go here. And then us on the side that we are putting out the workshops and the meetings and the information could just go here. Do you know how much of my weekly time would be freed up if I didn't have to create social posts and informational posts for every freaking platform known to man?
Yes, exactly. This is going back to the 1920s commercialization of kitchen appliances argument. But yet, 15 miles over the hill, we've got all the brain power in the world working on the next messaging platform. Right? Not solving the world's problems, coming up with the next vowel-less messaging platform. Okay? That's my rant against technology. Okay? It's not helping. It's diffusing society instead of bringing it together. It's making it harder and more complicated to get a definitive word on anything. And it's not solving the world's problems. Okay, I win another argument against technology. That's Ruben 6, technology squadoosh. Okay, let's get back to holiday shopping because you have a fate. So I like to shop locally. I like to walk up and down Main Street. Now, I'm not always satisfied with what's there, but my kind of feeling is like going to a swap meet or a good flea market. yeah, if you're just like whipping through and whatever and okay, but it takes time and patience, and you got to sift and you got to look at stuff and you got to pick things up and like look in the back and, you know, ask questions. And so I kind of like doing that over the course of December. I'm not a big shopper. I don't like the pressure of having to buy presents at a certain time.
I would like to another hot take. I think I might have said this
hold
before.
Hold on. We need a hot take.
I would like to propose, with the exception of the little kids. Okay, little, not, I'm just for adults.
What age are we talking about little kids? Because you kind of looked at me when you said...
Behaviorally.
Infantile, you looked at me.
With the exception of little kids, I wish that we did not have to do gifts for Christmas and birthdays. I wish we would normalize getting gifts for people, or not, but getting gifts for people all throughout the year. Because I find that as a gift giver, I have the most joy when I am just out and about in the world doing a thing, happen upon a thing, and go, oh my gosh, I think my mom or my best friend Betsy would love this.
Amen, sister.
And
totally.
And then I grab it and I give it to them.
Yes.
And then what happens, because like even right now in my car, I have something for Betsy, and I'm going to give it to her today. I'm not going to hold on to it till Christmas. But then I have to then think about, like, well, I've gotten best boyfriend Jesse 700 things over the course of the year, but now I have to force myself to pick something out for Christmas. Or he's my birthday's tomorrow, so then he's got to try to figure out. And then he actually, so sweetly, so cute, he bought me something that he knew I would love. And he held on to it, thinking he was going to give it to me tomorrow. Well, I also stumbled upon that same thing at the store.
Oh, no.
And I bought it, and
no.
I sent him a picture. I was like, oh, my gosh,
no.
I found this amazing coffee mug that I love so much. And he was like, did you buy it? And I'm like, of course I did. I'm already using it. And he's like, okay. And I knew immediately, and I said, oh, no. Did I just ruin a gift? And I was like, well, at least you know I would have loved it. And now I have one for home and one for work. But if we just normalized that he saw it, thought of me, knew that I would love it, and had given it to me the day that he had gotten it, then that wouldn't have happened. So I am just, in my family, as soon as you turned 18, individual gifts were not a thing. It's only for the kids. And then we would do just like white elephants if we got together. And so this whole just having a season where you're supposed to buy gifts is so stressful. It's a huge burden on the pocketbook. It's not like I get paid more in December and can magically afford $2,000 more in gifts or whatever the heck. And then you get a gift. Well, if they give me a gift, that's $30, but my gift was really only $10. Like, am I a bad friend? Am I a bad person? Like, please, let's be done with it. Buy gifts for the people that you love when you come across them and that thing made you think of them, and let birthdays and holidays just be for the little kids so that they just have a really fun time.
I could not agree more, but per your example, also you just happened to squeeze in there that tomorrow's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
If you see Crystalline out there, please wish her a happy birthday. She's the kind of person that would enjoy that and gain energy and happiness from that. I could not agree with you more, but per your example, but we are forced to by big commercialization and big propaganda to have to do it, because if best boyfriend Jesse had given you that present, well, you're a different example, but so you find that perfect thing for someone, but it happens to be in the middle of December, you have to hold on to it because you give them the most incredible gift they've ever received on December 15th. But then you don't give them something on December 25th. Oh boy, you know what a just horrible person you are for, you know, not giving them a holiday present. And that's the kind of thing, like, I don't like the forced time of it. Also, one person, one gift. We don't need all of these gifts. We don't need everybody getting 15 gifts. I had the interns look into this. Per that, we have way too much stuff. And part of it is this holiday gift-giving stuff. Americans spend $38 million per year on personal storage because everybody has junk that they don't need that they got 6 bread makers for Christmas, and so they have to put it into these personal storage units because they don't have enough room in their house for all the junk that they don't need.
Which brings up another point. Let's also normalize re-gifting. Because psychologically, they have found, I believe I read this in a study, that when people buy gifts for other people for a holiday or birthday or whatever, they actually tend to buy gifts that they themselves would want to receive or that they like. It's the candle that they like. It's the thing that they like.
Yep.
And it's not actually something that they are really taking the time to think that the person receiving it is going to like. So that's how we end up with all these gifts that we're like, well, I don't want a sandalwood candle. I'm not a candle person. I'm allergic. So then people end up with these gifts. But then there's this, you know, real, like, mind mess about whether or not, well, what if I take this gift that's a perfectly good gift? It was given to me as a gift, but I'm not going to use it. Now I want to give that to my mom, but, like, what if I got it from my sister? And what if she sees it at my mom's house? And what if she gets upset? How about we could normalize, oh, that didn't work for you, but you knew that it would work for your mom, so you gave it to her? Thank you for passing it on so that it's still usable and it's not just sitting around in a stupid storage unit or getting thrown away in whole.
Okay. We have instigated a call.
Yes.
Okay. This is Ruben and Crystalline on Coastal Windage. Who have we got this morning?
It's Penny Packer.
A Penny Pack. Well, you sound a little grumpy about it.
Well, I mean, I can see your point on the Christmas gifts, but... You know, for me, who
wait, wait, wait. My point
here,
or Crystalline's point? Because, you know,
both of your points.
Okay, good.
But I don't live near family at Christmas, and I really only get to see them every other year. So, you know, if my brother forgot to give me a Christmas gift because I didn't see him that year, I think I'd be pretty ticked.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I would also like to note that I do think it's important to know what people's, air quotes, love language is.
What is
that? Because if somebody's love language is receiving gifts, then they're going to be more upset about not getting a gift than somebody like myself, who my love language is acts of service. So also know that.
That's a good
point. So also know that. So if, and I'm not assuming, Penny, but if, Penny, your love language is you feel the most special by getting gifts, then I do fully feel like, okay, then you're... family should know that and be able to love you in that way.
Okay, but I guess
what I'm saying is that, you know, I want to receive a gift from someone who, you know, I admire and love, like, let's just say, for example, my brother. And, you know, because I don't get to see him this year for Christmas, if I don't receive a gift from him, it's going to kind of hurt because there's been a pattern of years of receiving gifts from him on Christmas. So, you know, it's not that it's my love language. It's just like a sign of, I'm thinking of you. You can't be with us. I wish you were here, kind of a thing.
Right, but that kind of goes along with, I was at Target, I saw this mug, and I thought of you, and it's July. It's that you just want him to acknowledge you at a time that... But, okay, here's this. Now, what if he... every quarter or so sent you a little something that thought that had made him think of you, and that was the tradition and not just saving it for Christmas. Do you think you would still would it still hurt if you didn't get it on Christmas?
No, I mean, I he does occasionally send me things that he finds, as do I. Like, I saw him over Thanksgiving and I gave him a bunch of things that he likes that I had accumulated, and I was like, I didn't draw his name for Christmas this year, so I was like, oh, here you go. And it was just like so nice to be there in person to see him open it, but because this year we don't get to see each other at Christmas, it's, you know, it's kind of like a substitute.
Okay, but
like,
Penny,
I don't get to see you.
Here's my argument. Okay, so if gifts were given over the course of the year whenever you find something, but then Christmas comes along, and there's this feeling that you have to do something on that day, present some kind of gift, but there's nothing that has come up. Is a $100 gift card from Target, does that express that feeling that you're looking for on Christmas Day? Because you got the gift, but what is that really? Like a gift card?
I mean, again, it would be like if we were spending Christmas this year together, then I wouldn't want or expect a gift because the gift of my presence or his presence or family's presence is present enough. But because we're not with each other and I don't get to see my family or be with my family, you know, it's kind of a sad substitute, I guess.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, and I would hope that families are having these types of open conversations to know that that would be how somebody would feel. Because another big part of, I think, gift giving, but just loving each other in general and knowing, is being able to know, like, who feels love in what way, so that you can show them love in that way, and then hopefully your family is, and yours and your, like, everybody's family,
yeah,
is willing to say, you know, who's really going to feel left out if they don't get something this year because they were unable to travel to see us, is Penny. So we should all make sure that we send Penny farts in a jar so that she feels special, and we have sent her our essences.
Do you know where to get that? Because that would be the perfect gift for my sister.
I have given a fart in a jar. I have a fart.
That you bought in a store or that you made yourself?
I made myself, because I had a friend who feels very uncomfortable with receiving gifts.
Oh, but this one was...
So, in lieu of an actual purchased gift, I gave him a fart in a jar.
Okay. Penny, if you got fart in a jar, would that cover it?
No.
And that, Penny, is why we are very different people.
Yeah. But, like, my mom's love language is totally, like, gift-giving. Like, she doesn't really, you know, need to receive gifts, but I think she enjoys it. But she really enjoys, like, giving gifts.
Yes. Well, and this could be a whole other topic, because I do love talking about love languages. There's a love language on the receiving end, and then there's a love language on the giving end, and they can be different. So for me, I want to receive acts of service, but I love giving gifts.
Yeah. I much prefer to give.
I like giving gifts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same.
All right, Penny. Well, thanks for the call and the insights on gift giving and the whole gift paradigm. Appreciate that. Hopefully you'll get something good this year from your family.
Yeah, poop shoes and girdle, maybe.
Poop shoes and girdle, okay. Is that the new crime-fighting drama on CBS this fall?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Brought to you by
girdle
the makers
from HR.
Of NCIS.
Sponsored by Fart in the Jar. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Thank you for precipitating fart in a jar, Penny Packer. Appreciate the call.
Have a good holiday.
Okay,
happy holiday.
Okay. Well, to wrap up, we never got to emails. Maybe next week. Who knows? But we're number one. America's most expensive zip code. I'm always complaining on this show about everything, but that one, that San Mateo County is the richest county in the country, but yet we can't seem to do anything, especially for coastside infrastructure. If you've driven Obispo Road in the last year or any time recently, Obispo Road, the road right in front of the brand new fire station in El Granada, that is the worst road on the entire coastside. There's no shoulder. People have to walk from the parking lot area at the skate ramp down to the stop sign. There's no shoulder. There's no sidewalk. The road is a rutted mess. Can't seem to do anything about it. But we are the richest county in the world. I mean, in the country.
Because where the county and the cities spend their money is most heavily dictated by those who show up to the meetings and ask them to spend it on a thing.
Well, this is the nature of politics. That's true.
Yes.
But we're always hearing how there's just no money. There's just no money. To which I always point out it's the richest county in the country. For the fifth year in a row, the richest zip code in the entire country is in San Mateo County. For the fifth year in a row. Any guess what that zip code, what town that zip code is in?
Atherton.
Yep. Fifth year in a row. Median price, $7.75 million. The next closest in the country was in Miami Beach, Florida at $6.1 million. So, 1.6 million more than the next closest county.
But just because the people be making the money and spending it on houses doesn't mean that they are paying a high property tax.
Absolutely. Because if you're that rich, you have the accountants to not have to pay. You figure out how to not pay any taxes, which is another problem here I'm just going to say California's second most expensive zip code is on the Newport Coast at 4.97, followed by Santa Barbara at 4.85 million.
And on that awful, horrible, sad note, have a wonderful weekend.
No, this is, we're number one. We're the richest county with the richest zip code in the entire country, and we can't pave the road. Okay. Hey, maybe we could get a gift of asphalt for the holidays. That would be great. New asphalt. How about everybody in El Granada just say, don't buy me anything, just buy me a new Obispo road. All right, we'll talk about that next week. We've got Julie Mell coming in to talk about the Beach Break Film Festival. Have a happy, happy ugly sweater contest and lighted boat show for Chris Lynn, for Frank the Engineer. This has been Ruben Truthmaker. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.